He had one of those records as well, Mr. Rustin Kelly. How you doing, Rustin?
I'm doing pretty good. Sorry, my fly is undone.
That's okay. It's radio, so no one would have ever known. Even the in-studio audience, I don't think they can see if your fly's up or down from here. But, man, welcome back to Lightning 100. How you been?
I've been really good.
Yeah?
It's good to be here. Yeah, I've just been gone a lot, so it's good to be home. It's good to be on a local station.
What have you been doing? Just doing the tour thing and
I've been touring since fall 2018. I mean, a little bit towards the end of the summer 2018, and then we just like nonstop since then.
Yeah. What's your favorite part of being out on the road? Do you like the restaurants or what's your favorite thing?
I mean, it sounds cliche, but I like performing.
Yeah.
The most. I mean, it kind of makes it all worth it. Like, there's so many things that go along with performing other than the performance. And the performance is the shortest part of what you're doing when you're out on the road. So I'd say with that, and then also I write a lot on the road.
Really?
Yeah, a lot.
The record that came out last year in September, Dying Star, when I was reading about it, feels like that was probably a record you actually wrote most of those songs a while ago, especially from like Dating Right Now.
Yeah. Yeah, no, some of them were like the ideas were kind of like formulated like in 2015. I still had some more living associated with that record to do in 2016, and then they kind of like found this place of completion around like 2017.
The title of the album, Dying Star, it's a pretty vulnerable and personal story, but I've heard you share. I was wondering if you'd talk about that a little bit.
Yeah, I mean, basically the record deals with substance abuse and then, you know, the hopeful recovery after that. And what happened was I had an overdose, and I luckily woke up the next day, and I went outside on my porch and I lit a ciggy, and I was just sitting there thinking, like, what am I doing with my life? And then the words Dying Star came into my head. I was like, I've never really like said that phrase before, like whatever. So kind of started like thinking about it. And then the more I thought about it, the more it made sense. And the more I knew it was a song title. And then the song title, Brightly Burst Into the Air, came into my head like right after that. And I knew that was going to be the last track on the record.
Wow.
Yeah. Supernovas, you know?
I read something that you had said to someone. And it just really struck me. You said it was as if I'd heard this record before. And I just needed to catch up and make it. And that seemed really interesting to me.
Yeah, it felt that way. I heard it in my head. That sounds a little bit like cliche Mr. Artist, but I definitely, it was like I had dreamed it and I'd forgot about the dream. And then I remembered it on the porch that day.
Wow, that's pretty cool. Rustin Kelly is here in the Lightning 100 studios. He just did a sold out show this past weekend at Basement East. Sold out pretty quickly. You guys added a second show. That one's sold out as well.
Yeah.
You're out there tomorrow night. You got Katie Pruitt opening the show.
Yep, she's sick.
This past Saturday, you had some friends join you out there. John P. Strome.
Yep. He was out there. My label head just casually came and jammed guitar with me.
He's awesome. I mean, he's a musician. I remember him.
He's so good.
Blake Babies and Lemonheads.
Yes. Yeah.
So that's really cool. And then you had Chris from Dashboard Confessional.
Yes. Yeah. Chris Caraba, which was like probably one of the most surreal experiences I had because I didn't know that he was such a fan of the record.
Wow.
And I can't remember how we got in touch with each other, but we just started like keeping communication with each other, and like we'd send each other songs and stuff like that. And I just asked him to come sing, and he came and did it. It's so crazy because like when I was 15, I took like a picture of him to my barber, and I was like, "Can you make me look like this guy?"
That's awesome.
For real.
Wow. Yeah. You know, your music connects with a lot of people. I mean, I know I've really personally loved this album, and I was curious, like, how does it feel when you are on stage performing? You're talking about you love performing.
Yeah.
When the crowd's singing along to your songs. Because they absolutely were on Saturday.
I would say that was that's even more surreal. Because all these songs at some point were, my plan was to just make them and create them so that I had an understanding of myself going through a time like this. And it became some sort of like a personal mantra. Like one of them, Paratroopers Battle Cry, the chorus just came out in one go when I was in rehab, and I was like at this manual labor like rehab, which was nuts. And I was mowing the lawn, and I was like so tired and exhausted and fatigued and like mentally just felt like I was, you know, falling apart even more. And then this chorus came out. And so it became something I just repeated over and over and over to myself. And then when I finally got my life together, my personal rhythm balanced, and was like, you know what? Music is meant to be put out and shared, not just to like make yourself feel better or heal in some way. And so to hear everyone singing that chorus back to me, it was like, it was nuts.
Yeah, I bet. Your wife, Casey Musgraves, has been over to the radio station a bunch, as have you. We're both grateful for that. And she was over here last year, and we let her take over the station for over an hour because she's...
I remember that.
She loves music. She was like...
I was in a hotel listening to
telling that. Telling me not just about her stuff, but like she had all these cool bands that she wanted to play. A lot of local folks around here. And she got me excited about the album, though, because like off air, she was like, you are gonna love this record. it was genuine. And she's actually, she's part of this album. A lot of folks that are close to you are involved in this record, including your dad. That's pretty cool.
I know, it's a family affair. I mean, if it weren't for those people just outside of their musical contributions to this record, if it weren't for them, I really don't think that I would be here. And so then throw on top of that the fact that you can have your dad and your wife and your sister and then your like friend family, Eastsiders, all come and like give their unique and special talents to something that's really important to you, especially, you know, in the midst of recovery. It makes that recovery seem a little bit more complete. And yeah, especially like my dad and especially Casey. I mean, both of them were so instrumental in, you know, reminding me that I had worth that I'd forgotten about a long time ago.
And you bring your dad out in your live band out on the road.
Yeah. No, yeah, we wake up on a tour bus not next to each other. It's kind of weird. But, like, we pull a curtain and it's like, hello, Dad. Rock and roll.
That's great. That's pretty interesting. Are you closer to him, would you say, than you were when you were a kid?
Yeah, totally. I would say that he was working really hard to provide for our family. And so it was somewhat of a, as far as our personal connection, there was always love there. But now we've been able to like share spirit together and a communion with something that's very important to both of us, which is self-expression, creativity, and music. We've been playing music together for a long time, and it's been kind of like an unspoken language between us. But now I can, you know, confidently say that our relationship is stronger than it's ever been, and I ever hoped that it would be.
That's awesome. When I was reading about you, I came across something that kind of shocked me, and is, to me, I think, incredibly interesting. What do you think that could be?
Let's see. Does it have something to do with Will Ferrell?
No, tell me about Will Ferrell.
Oh, no, that was just a Blaze of Glory reference.
Oh, gosh.
Is that what you're talking about?
You were a figure skater. Are a figure skater.
I am, dashingly so.
Wow. How many years did you do that?
I did that for a long time. Let's see, I was 8, and then we stopped when I was like 15. I'll say that like it taught me when you're passionate about something, if you have discipline and you set goals and you have a work ethic, then you really can accomplish anything. And I don't know, I loved it. I just got on the ice and like it was very natural for me to like balletically dance and throw a chick into the air.
Wow. Do you ever get to do it anymore?
Hell yeah. I go and I'll blade every once in a while. I skate to Slipknot, if anyone's wondering. I really do. You got to toughen it up somehow. Slipknot's currently my favorite band. So.
We've got Rustin Kelly here in the Lightning 100 studio. We've got an in-studio audience that he's about to play live. Where do you think your love of Halloween comes from? When did you first realize you fell in love with Halloween?
I've always liked it. I think it's because it just lands in this really perfect and just naturally spooky area of the year. You know, everything is kind of dying, but like beautiful. And then you throw in all this, like this orange and black and like brown. It's I don't know. There's something freaky about it just naturally occurring the way that the world turns around then. But the idea of Halloween in general, I mean, dating back to like, you know, pagan history and the Druids, I thought it was really interesting that, you know, All Hallows Eve for them was a time when they collected their harvest and brought it into the home when the world just kind of figuratively and literally froze over around that time. And that's when they believed that like spirits could roam. So you're more subject to spiritual attack if you're out in the open. And I felt like that was really perfect for me at the time when I made that EP, Halloween EP.
Yeah. The EP inspired by it as well. You also last year got to do, you were part of a project for Johnny Cash. You got to do that with Casey. Can you tell us about that?
Yeah, that was crazy. I'll try to put this in a nutshell because I started writing that song. It's a poem that Johnny Cash wrote to June, and it was on this little piece of paper that someone had taken a picture of in this like fan book. And I started putting music to it when I was 16. And I was like super romantic, hyper romantic, whatever you want to call it. But I just knew like it sounds so made up, but I just knew that like there was a woman out there that was going to redeem me in some way that I heard in the, you know, mythologized story of Johnny and June. And maybe it was, you know, foreshadowing of my life, but through the years, like all the pills and all the drugs and alcohol and abusing myself, there was these times when I would look at this picture of Johnny Cash in this cabin where he would go to sober up and to, you know, like sober his mind up and make things clear. And he recorded all the American recordings there with Rick Rubin. It was this picture of him sitting there and he was smoking a cigarette, singing out into the forest. Fast forward, I meet John Allen from BMG, who used to do A&R at Universal, who brought Rick Rubin to Johnny Cash. And he introduced me to John Carter, and we went out to this cabin, and I was sitting there talking to John Carter Cash, and we were writing a song, and I asked if I could go step out and smoke a cig. And I hadn't put two and two together yet. Walked outside, and I sat down on the front steps, and I lit a cig, and it just hit me right then that that was the same exact spot and picture that I would look at in times when I needed a little bit of extra hope, you know, in those really black moments. So then, fast forward, John Carter asked me to be a part of this Forever Words thing. And he handed me this book, and it had all these poems in it. And then I remember that poem that I had put music to a long time ago. And I asked him if I could just try that out. And he said, sure. And then I was like, well, since this is to June, and this is like written in 1970, right when Johnny got clean, like, there's no better way than to have, you know, my wife come and duet that with me. So I brought it to him, brought him the piece of paper that had a picture of the piece of paper of the poem. He had never heard it before. And he read the poem, and he got tears in his eyes because at the bottom it said February 2nd, 1970. And he was like, my mom was 8 months pregnant with me when my dad wrote this poem.
Oh, my gosh.
He's like, I would be honored for the two of you to embody the love that they had for each other on this record. And so, yeah, we finished the song together, and the rest is history, I guess.
That it is.
Did I sum it up fast enough?
That was great. Can you guys hear that out there in the in-studio audience? Man, thank you for sharing that story. I know you are a busy man. Tomorrow night, you got the sold-out show at Basement East.
Yeah, baby.
Katie Pruitt is opening. Are you going to be able to make it to the Grammys this weekend?
I am. I made it a point to make sure that there would be a hole in my calendar then, because you just don't not support, you know, someone going and taking a leap like that.
Sure, yeah. And Ian Fitchhook, also part of your record and your wife's record.
Yeah,
and
he played drums on Dying Star. Just overall magical sense of rhythm, that guy.
Awesome. Okay, I tell you what, we're going to take a quick break. Rustin Kelly is going to go on the other side of the studio door and play for an in-studio audience. We're all going to get to listen. If you got a fan that wants to hear this, tell them they can stream us worldwide at lightning100.com. We are 22 minutes here into the 1 o'clock hour. We've got Rustin Kelly live in the Lightning 100 studio. Thank you.
prettiest thing you like. Parker Posey in a magazine with faded jeans and a crop top back in 93. I wanna be your dressed in black, your dark star of the backwards hat. I'm gonna write a book and put your name on every page. Every page. Hey, pretty little mockingbird, you keep singing them sad, sad songs. There's already rain on my window. I'm dying when the morning comes. Flew away in the night with a raven. Now I'm underneath the willows hanging. I'm too strung out to be upside down. Pretty little mockingbird, sing me a song. I was a desert, honey, you were the sand. I was a bird, baby, you were the branch. And I flew into the blue and watched those flowers dying. It wasn't much, just everything. You could have sat right there and got high with me. But you fell asleep and you dreamed and brought the nightmares. Singing them sad, sad songs. There's already rain on my window. I'm dying when the morning comes. Flew away in the night with a raven. Now I'm underneath the willows hanging. I'm too strung out to be upside down. Pretty little mockingbird, sing me a song. There's already rain on my window. I'm dying when the morning comes. Flew away in the night with a raven. Now I'm underneath the willows hanging. I'm too strung out to be upside down. Pretty little mockingbird, sing me a song.
All right, so this is a song I was talking about when I woke up from a very bad night. Let's just call it that. You know, I had a very bad day and night and went out on the porch and was like trying to figure out how I was going to make it out of this hole that I dug. And then Dying Star, those two words popped in my head and I knew that was going to be a song. And it was like I could hear it. So it was a really easy one to write because it just kind of came out. Ready?
What you want ain't always what you get. What you hope for ain't always what it is. You standing in the kitchen at 3 a.m. 'cause you can't. Fire your keys, you ain't got no cigarettes. dying star, front seat in your car, where you brave the cold to come and find me falling apart, brought me out of the dark. I went way too far this time. I was never turning I from away. I'm staring in the mirror, giving it a one last fight. If I'm going down, at least I pray I'll burn out bright. I'm a dying star, front seat of your car, where you break.
She's all right.
Where's your favorite place to eat?
My favorite place to eat is Lock on the Table.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that's my jam. Is that people seem to like know what it means, even though like maybe I don't, you know? I don't know. It just like kind of explains itself without like having to really get too deep into what it is, maybe. Yeah, dirt emo. That's what I've described dirt emo as my genre of music, because I was tired of people being like, "What kind of country music do you play?" It's like, I don't play country music. Like, yeah, so it's like, I don't know, Dashboard with a little twang.
From our Instagram, Let's Get Brunch, would like to know, what are you currently listening to on repeat?
Oh, that's good. Currently listening to on repeat, All Hope Is Lost, Slipknot, number one. And then I've also been listening to this guy, William Baczynski, who's like this experimental composer. He did something called the Disintegration Tapes, It's pretty cool. You should check it out. A bad A. Sam Palladio would like to know why I am such a bad A. I would like to know why he is such a bad A. Answer a question with a question. That's my first rule that I've learned in marriage.
Never answer.
It literally never works, but I think it does every time. All right. Last song. All right. All right, that song's sweet and all, but here's what really happened. Ready? One, yeah. Two.
I took too many pills again. I took too many pills again. Blacked out for a week, didn't eat, didn't sleep, came to it at all again. She's probably gonna be pissed. She's probably gonna be pissed. Throw my shirts in the yard, a key in my car, but show up to her house like this. Oh, it was a dark December. Not even angels came around. And I was too stoned to remember, or come too far to turn back now. Come too far to turn back now. I feel like I'm gonna fall down. But I was born and raised in an earthquake state, so I'm better on shaky ground. What the hell am I gonna do now? The hell am I gonna do now? Got a half-lit smoke, good God, I'm broke, but I gotta make it back to Germantown. Oh, it was a dark December. Not even angels came around. And I was too stoned to remember. I've come too far to turn back now. Come too far to turn back now. Take me back. It ain't like I'm tricking on the corner of her crack. Baby, won't you take me back? Oh, it was a dark December. In the city of angels, I was coming down. And I was too stoned to remember. Too far to turn back now. Come too far to turn back now.
Thank you. Thanks, everybody. Thanks for coming. Cool. Thanks, ex-girlfriend.
Thanks to Rustin Kelly for playing for our Lightning 100 listeners today. He's got a sold-out show this Friday at the Basement East with Katie Pruitt. Doors are at 8. Show starts at 9. Hopefully you were one of the lucky ones to get tickets. You can find out more at RustinKelly.com.